All right, let's continue.
Yep.
Jim, Adam? All right, let's continue with the meeting now. There's a couple of other items on the agenda. Darren?
So we'd like to, first of all, I would like to introduce Jennifer Arnold. So Jennifer is a new associate planner. She's been with us for about 6 weeks or so. And so I went through this a few months ago. We are going to transition from myself to Jennifer. She's going to become your staff liaison, and I'm going to transition to the Sustainability Advisory Board. And so after this meeting, she will primarily be coming to your meetings, and I will provide support as needed. But to this point, it'll be Jennifer, and I can have her say a few words about herself if you want me to.
That'd be great.
Sustainability.
I'm going to the Sustainability Advisory Board. I'm going to be their staff liaison.
So I'm Jennifer, and I have a bachelor's from Frostburg State in Maryland in urban and regional planning. And I'm currently a full-time grad student at Penn State studying community and economic development. I've been a planner in Maryland. I came from Douglas County. I was a planner for the county there and lived in all different places in Oregon. So I've got a lot of experience to bring around. Lots of pretty neat historic stuff in northeast corner of the state in Wallowa County, where I lived for about 8 months. So pretty excited to be back in the city.
All right. Thank you. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks.
So Douglas County?
Yes.
Just Roseburg, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right, so we would like to discuss agenda items for July. So going back to a conversation we had earlier this year, there were several things that we threw out as potential agenda items. One being having Public Works come to the meeting to talk about how infrastructure gets funded in the historic district, such as sidewalks, curbs, gutters, and whether or not they would be wanted or needed there. Second, Mr. Mattis suggested maybe getting someone from the LOCS effort to come and speak to the HRB about what's going on with the LOCS and maybe just in general with the historic districts and. Well, Mr. Mattis, you can tell me exactly what it's called.
There are three projects going on in the Heritage Area.
The Heritage Area, yes, thanks.
Well, there's a lot happening, and there's a lot of new stuff, too, with the LOCS, with the state task force that formed Governor Barbara Roberts chairs. There's some money going into it. There's some real things happening. So Sandy Carter could easily give us a presentation.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And then the other option is to have a little bit of training for quasi-judicial hearings in the future. Since we've got a few new board members, it might be a good idea to go through a brief training with the assistant city attorney.
Okay.
So any preference on one, two, all of them?
All of the above.
Okay.
Can Public Works talk about, you know, this building that was just approved, they're having to put power underneath the street in front of the building. Can they talk about what it would take to keep going up the street to do that?
On Willamette Falls Drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know they have been having discussions with PGE about that exact issue, so we could have them address that also.
Megan does a nice presentation for the quasi-judicial, and that's a full meeting worth of agenda.
Would be. All right. I don't want to put that off too long, though, because, like Darren said, there's some new people on the board that it would be very beneficial to.
I'm one of the new people.
Yeah.
But I've been a staff planner and planning consultant for 35 years.
But we've got... I know, but...
There's a member who's not here who is, when he said he'd be willing to do it, we said we'd give him training.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that you don't. I'm saying we can all benefit from it. And there's a member, like you said, there's a member on the board that's been to two meetings that has no idea what we're doing.
Yep.
To be, you know, to be frank.
We promised to onboard him and we haven't.
Yeah. You know, and it would be better for to train before they decide that this isn't something they want to not do than kind of get your feet wet. Right?
Well, and on that topic, that this is supposed to be my last meeting. I think Troy is supposed to be coming on board, but I don't know if you've talked to him.
I have not, but yeah, we're discussing the transition, so.
I have talked to Dr. yesterday and said, ask me either.
I keep thinking I'm almost out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll transition that out, so that'll be, you know, again, a good time to get everyone on the same page.
Perfect. Okay, so
if you can't be here next month, let's push
off. Yeah,
the
I was just gonna say the same thing.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Troy, and that my offer still stands if it's appropriate. If there's a need for a quorum or something in a pinch, I'd be happy to come back in some capacity and advise or help. But you guys have it handled. So.
Okay. Thank you, Adam.
Activate you from the injured list.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm in the reserves.
Yeah. You know, and that's a good point. We had talked about that 6 months or so ago of having some, not just one person, but maybe some people that we can always pull off of to make a quorum. You know, because sometimes, you know, we delayed some the Graves project 3 months because we didn't get a quorum, so...
I'm not quite sure how you're going to be able to accomplish that legally because, as I understand the ordinance that created the board, it's a 7-person board. I don't know how you would go about, you know,
yeah.
There's no provision for alternates.
Right.
Okay.
I
maybe we just get full strength at 7 and then... Make sure 4 of us are here.
And make sure 4 show up.
Yeah.
And then I think we were hamstrung previously by at least one member that wasn't able or willing to show up ever.
Ever. Yeah.
And that's so you're
true.
Always down one.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. Good point.
Okay. Okay. I will check with the assistant city attorney about her schedule, whether next month or the following month would work. And
okay.
We'll go from there, and I'll work with Mr. Manning to put together agenda.
Okay, thank you.
And then also Mr. Mattis, too, if we want to have a speaker.
And Miss Arnold.
And Miss Arnold, yes.
Mrs.
Yes,
Arnold.
I won't be working with anybody. She will be.
Yes. All right.
Okay, so then we have two discussion items from staff. First being parking in Willamette Historic District. So... one of the Westland police officers received a call from a homeowner in the historic district with a complaint about parking on the street from the commercial businesses out on Willamette Falls Drive. And he was asking the officer whether it would be an appropriate measure or even allowed to create maybe a parking permit area in the historic district. And of course, then the police, the officer passed that along to Public Works, who then passed it on to me to bring to you. So my original, you know, discussion with other staff members was, you know, that's basically the parking for the commercial area, since they don't have to provide parking from our code, is a lot of parking happens in the neighborhood. So restricting that to a permit, I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but that's a discussion we brought to the board to see what if you had any thoughts or concerns or anything on?
My initial thought is it would might hamstring the businesses, but there are examples of it around town where, you know, three or four blocks off the main business district, they limit parking to residents or people with a permit, and those permits can be purchased, but...
That only works under an enforcement system that has a limited amount of hours, and we don't have that.
Yeah.
You could put, you know, 2-hour zones, but if you don't enforce it, it doesn't mean anything. You know, there are a number of residences that live or back up against the commercial district that put out their own signs for...
Residents only.
Residents only and things that aren't official, but some people respect them.
Yeah. And also the property that people are parking on is technically city property. It's not the residents' property. So, you know, on 6, you know, there's nice grassy spots, and 5th is kind of, 5th isn't as much, but 6 mainly has those grassy spots, but that's technically not the person's property, even though they're mowing it and keeping care of it, but...
I think I know who called, and because I think I may have advised him that that might be a means to an end. But
thanks, Adam.
Yeah, sorry, thanks. But
okay,
no,
you can't leave the board.
No, but my comments were: if somebody's blocking your garage, that's a different story.
Right.
Maybe there's a public works solution to having a sign that says parking ends here. And if it's an issue with people blasting their stereos at 11:30 at night when they come off their shift at the restaurant, maybe talk to the restaurant staff, or you have a sound noise ordinance. So.
Well, there is a noise ordinance. So.
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
You know, that's an enforceable by calling police too. But
exactly.
I would like, I don't want to pass this from Public Works to us, to the historic or the neighborhood association, but I'd kind of like to get their input on it because, you know, it's that neighborhood. It would impact every one of those. That would mean that friends coming to visit couldn't park there either because they wouldn't have a permit, you know?
And school visitors.
And the old time fair.
And at the old time fair, exactly. You know, all things that are good for the neighborhood would be impacted.
Just like the others, neighborhoods that are immediately adjacent to commercial district, it's an amenity and it's also kind of a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah.
But it's why people are also choosing to live here.
Live there,
because
exactly.
It is walkable,
yeah.
And you have these great shops and restaurants, and it's part of living there.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that makes this like kind of an issue of historic review board as opposed to just typical neighborhood association is because of the historical nature, we do have areas that don't have curb, and different parking habits have developed. You know, it's not always parallel on a curb like in downtown Portland or other commercial districts.
Yeah.
You know, there is a understanding that one just parks on some grass sometimes, and some people don't like it when you then drive onto the sidewalk. And, you know, there's those concerns.
Right.
But this is probably way down a rabbit hole of social norms and not actually something we have anything to do with.
Right. I think at that realm, it gets out of our
jurisdiction,
you know, out of our forte. You know, I would say hand this off to the neighborhood association, see what they think of it. And if they have a recommendation that they would like us to, you know, go forward with, and you know, we can talk about that. But I don't think it's our thing to talk about at this point.
No.
You know, because there's so many things that aren't the norm. You know, so
why can't we mark it out for historic vehicles?
Always see a part there would be what
35 something.
Yeah, let's do that and change the names back to Walnut and Maple and. Do that.
Yep. So, sounds like at this point there would be no interest in making any kind of recommendation from the historic review board about permit parking, and the suggestion would be go to your neighborhood association and have that discussion with them.
Right.
Excellent.
And with the neighborhood association, maybe they could get, you know, somebody from the police department to come in or somebody from Public Works to say, this is how we're going to park on the street, or, you know, exhaust those resources first before we say no parking, because, you know, I don't think that really makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Park a block away from your house and meet your neighbors on the way home.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, and then the next discussion is about 21395 Willamette Drive and a National Register listing evaluation. So this is the McLarty property, which is on Highway 43, which I can probably bring up a map if you're not familiar with it. Bear with me for a second. Give you a little historic background on it. It was foreclosed upon by the county, and the city had a right to purchase it. But then the purchasing agreement with the county was that the city would create a public space out of it within a certain amount of time, which that time ran out. So the city had to make a decision whether they were going to let it revert back to the county or follow through with the purchase and create a pocket park out of it. So it's this property right here. And the council made the decision to purchase the property and create a small pocket park out of it.
And what does that mean?
Pocket park?
Yeah.
It's just a
green space they're going to mow?
Very small, yeah. Very, very small park just for very local
ADA
neighborhood
ADA
folks.
ADA requirements?
I am not sure about that. That's a question I'd have to propose to the parks. But the property does have some history to it. So it's the McLarty property. And so it has an old structure on it. And it's an old house that has been there for a while. And that house... the parks did an evaluation of the house, and I apologize that I didn't get you this information earlier, but in this packet that I gave you, there's some pictures of the house, and they evaluated the house, and it needs to be torn down, so there's no saving it at this point. And so they got together with SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, and fit out this clearance form, and then received a letter back from SHPO saying that the property could be eligible for listing on the National Register of Historic Places. So there's two options at this point. So since the house has to be demoed because it's unsafe and unusable, the city could accept the SHPO findings that it's eligible for listing, and then they would have to mitigate the adverse impact, which is the removal of the house. And they would do that through an interpretive sign in the park that tells a story about the property. And that's what they've done down in, I don't know if the interpretive sign is in Fields Bridge Park yet, but it's slated to be put in Fields Bridge Park, and I might have, no, I don't have that with me. But that's the way they would mitigate the adverse impact from the removal of the home. The second option is to actually go through a research project to see if it's actually eligible for listing. So SHPO is saying that they think the property is eligible for listing, but if the city went through a process and then found that the property actually wasn't eligible for listing, then they wouldn't have to mitigate the adverse impact. So financially, it's probably a wash. If we accept the SHPO findings, we would put the interpretive sign there. And if we did not accept the SHPO findings, we would have to do some kind of research project to show that the property was not eligible for listing. Mr. Wooster from the Parks Director asked me to bring this to you and see if you guys had had any thoughts on it and opinions or recommendations for what you think the appropriate move forward would be.
Give it back to the county and make them do it? Be the same outcome. I said give it back to the county and make them do it, it'd be the same outcome.
Well, I guess I might speak in favor of the houses. I'm not ready to fall down.
Yeah.
Certainly no saving of that, or in my mind, trying to get it listed. But I do think there's a fair amount of history with the party. City that goes back some ways, houses too. It wouldn't be inappropriate, you know, just to have some form of interpretive sign.
Yeah.
With a little explanation. Let's preserve history in a written format if I can't do it otherwise.
Mm-hmm. How can it be eligible for listing if it's ready to fall down?
Yeah, so it's not just the structure, it's the property, the site itself, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I don't have a lot of information about how far back
if it was eligible for listing, would there be funds available to do something with this property from the state? Or would it always be a burden to the city to upkeep?
Yeah, I think it would be the city's obligation if they provide park space there to maintain it.
Well, it seems like you could name the park after McLarty. I don't know the history of McLarty in the city, but if it's relevant enough to consider a historic kind of part of this community, then I think an interpretive sign and maybe a name to identify that piece of history might be appropriate.
I guess maybe the sign that this parks board has a policy for naming parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this would
qualify.
It's not consistent with that policy. I don't know what the history is besides the prior ownership.
When you purchase,
yeah. Yeah.
I know Sally McLarty, and I don't know if she's still around now. But supposedly she grew up in that house, and I don't know what the significance of her parents might be to the city. So what I'm saying is I know nothing about the history.
We're right there with you.
Yeah.
You're good.
Sally is still around.
Agreed.
She's been your ear. You
know. She lives in Gladstone, too.
Put up a plaque.
So, yeah, Herring put up a plaque.
Monument sign.
Okay.
I don't have any information.
Yeah.
Okay. I will pass along that the board's recommendation would be accepting the SHPO's findings of eligibility and mitigate the adverse effects. Okay. All right, and that is all I have.
So the definition of a pocket park is it's got to be big enough for 10 teenagers to smoke and drink in? Is that it? Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Got to be able to fit a 12-pack in.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And not a full keg.
No. 340.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, and then And then I also passed along some mail that was sent to you.
Okay.
Do with it what you wish.
Okay, that's it.
We're up.
I have a note from the board. I have been assigned or tasked with being our committee liaison to the CCI, the Citizen Committee on Involvement, Citizen Involvement. And I'm not certain their meeting time works with my schedule. There have been two or three meetings since I've been sent their direction, and I've not been able to make any. So if somebody is like super available, putting it out there that maybe we could appoint you to be the liaison, I'm willing to keep giving it a go, but one time I got 3 days notice, one time it was at 5 o'clock and I can't get down here, I work till 5, so stuff like that. I'll do my best, but
that was my issue.
If somebody can do better, feel free.
I'd say if Troy wants to join this podcast organization.
Mm-hmm. Sign him up.
Yep.
Inman.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's it. That's adjourned.
Okay.
8:20.